So we continue with our 1 Samuel series. And I pray that what you are learning so far from this series is very helpful to you. It's very helpful to you as an example, as instruction, as warning, as inspiration, as a challenge at whatever point. And so today we will start a new chapter, that is chapter 25, which has 44 verses. A chapter that I'd simply entitled, The Trying of David's Patience. The Trying of David's Patience. At tignan lang po natin kung gaano ho tayo kalayo aabot. Because I'm almost sure that what I had prepared for today, we will not finish. But let me start by simply just asking this question. And I want you to think about this question. Have you ever experienced doing good to someone, showing him respect, only for that person to turn around and terribly disrespect you in public? Maybe even being rude to you. Have you ever experienced this? Eto ka. Pinakita mo na magandang loob ang isang tao. Pinakita mo ng galang. At ang ibabalik sa iyo ay kawalan ng galang o pagbabastos pa nga. My question is, how did you react or respond? Please think. Please think back. How did you react or respond? Did you feel your anger rising? Did you feel like retaliating? Did you want to forget for a while that you were a follower of Christ until you dealt with this person? Lord, pasensya na. Wala muna kristyano. Upakan ko muna to. Did you feel that? Did you sense God's restraint? If yes, how did you respond to God's restraint? Tinaboy mo ba ang kanyang kamay? O hinawakan mo ang kanyang kamay nung nadama mong pinipigilan ka? Some of you might be familiar with the story because I remember I've told this many, many years ago. I said many. I still had hair. But when we were finally moving to Baguio, and I was finally moving my family to Baguio, this was in 1991. I was able to borrow an L300 van, no? FB, Facebook. Okay, so nakahiram po ako nun. Kinaga po namin yung ilang mga gamit namin. This was our last hakot. And I remember traveling the highway. Wala pa hong Esitex and Tplex that time. And so we were driving through one of the towns and there was traffic. No? Talagang sunod-sunod. Sabi nga nila, bumper to bumper. Okay, so. And then I saw in my side view mirror a bus, I forget what bus that was overtaking. Na halos nakatigil kami. And so I looked forward, I said, saan niya ipapwesto tong bus niya? Bakit siya nag-overtake ngayon? Kasi wala naman, hindi gumagalaw halos. Tapos, saan siya papasok? Kasi nakita kong haba po ng linya. And so obviously, it's like, I know what this guy is gonna do. What this guy is gonna do is, at the last moment, susubukan niyang ipilit isingit ang kanyang bus. It's a form of bullying, really. And guess what happened? Guess who he decided to cut? But because I felt it was wrong, I did not let him. Gumaganon sa, ginigit-git niya ako, hindi ako bumibigay. So that what happened was, finally there was another truck coming, and so he was forced to wait until merong magpapasok sa kanya. I didn't want to let him in because it was wrong. Kung bus ka pa nga, ikaw pa nga gagawa niyan. Kotse nga, hindi ginagawa yan, ikaw gagawin mo. Now, something happened. Because of that, he honked his horn so loud at me. But it did not stop there. He started now to chase me.
Eh ako mabigatuin pa ako sa accelerator eh. 'Di ba?
And so I did not let him. Why? I said, siguro pa overthinking ko na lang siya. But I did not let him. Why? Because I was thinking, galit ito. At dahil galit ito, pag inaya ko mag-overtake yan, for sure, gigit-gitin niya ako para ma-shoulder ako. So, hindi ko siya pa-overtaken muna. Maghihintay ako ng gasolinahan, papasok ako doon, hayaan ko na lang siya. And so finally, we got to Carmen, and there was a Caltech station at that curve. And so I decided, okay, pumasok po ako dyan. I thought that the bus would go by. No, you know what the driver did? He brought the bus into the gas station, opened the door, got down, and started cursing me. Hinahamon niya ako. I felt my ears turning red. Bababa ko na yung salaming ko, and then I felt my wife touch my arm. And after that time, I really could almost hear God through His Word say, "The servant of the Lord is not quarrelsome." Oh, my Lord. And I was looking at the driver. Hindi itong driver nito, kayang-kaya kong kutusan eh. Hindi ba? And okay, you know what? He did it for 5 minutes. 5 eternal minutes of cursing me, and people in the bus were watching, people in the gas station are watching, and I was just doing this. I was praying, and the Lord somehow was making images flash in my mind. Kung pinatulan mo yan, dumating ang pulis, lalabas sa dyaryo, pastor at bus driver nag-away. Tapos ang kwento mo. Tapos ang honor ni Lord. So I just let him until he got tired. He left. I waited another 15 minutes because ayoko siya maabutan. Because I also did not trust myself. But I was so thankful. I was so thankful. If you knew me in my old life, I was a very different person. I was the kind of guy who would stop in front of a bus and hahamunin ko ng upakan yung bus driver. I'm not proud of that. I did that once in Ortigas Avenue, and I'm not proud of that. And I'm so thankful that that part of me is dead. But it was a time of trying my patience. Friends, in this chapter, we will once more see God's refining work in David's life. We will once more see it. This time we will witness humble David's patience tried and how he reacted to this testing. We will also observe that God's best servants are but men. Men who seek to honor God but sometimes fail. And how God intervenes to prevent his servant from sinning against him and ruining his testimony. This is a beautiful story, brethren. And here in this chapter, we will also encounter a new character, Abigail. And we will see the role that she would play in David's life. So again, where are we now? We are in the third part of our entire section. We are in this section where we are seeing David prepared as a leader, extending now all the way to the end of the chapter. We are now on the eighth part. Starting from chapter 18, we're now in chapter 25. This is now the eighth part. All of those chapters, we would see God preparing David for the kingship that he was going to handle one day. And so here, we are going to look at the trying of David's patience. And we will not read all the 44 verses. It's just too long. I mean, we will read as we go. Now, these 44 verses, this chapter, I divided into 7 parts. Now, don't worry, because not all the parts are long. But 7 parts, and we will start looking at that today. 7 parts po. Some parts I will further subdivide, because they are, I believe, a little long, and there are just many things inside those sub-parts. So let's see how far we will go. The first subdivision that I see in this chapter simply entitled Samuel Dies. Samuel Dies. So please read with me 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 1. Verse 1. Then Samuel died, and all Israel gathered together and mourned for him and buried him at his house in Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. Okay? So, sige, tignan po natin yan. Tignan po natin ang verse 1. Read again the first two parts of verse 1. Then Samuel died, and all Israel gathered together and mourned for him and buried him at his house in Ramah. Now, I'd like to remind you, brethren, that Samuel was the last of the judges. And his death signaled the end of the era of the judges. I hope that you remember that when we tackled the introduction to this book of 1 Samuel. And as you would recall, going back through the previous chapters, we had seen that Samuel was a revered leader. He was much respected. He was a revered leader who presided over the beginning of the monarchy. We see that he was part of that time when God appointed Saul to be the first king that was requested or demanded of him by the people of Israel. And we had also seen him anointing both Saul and David. We had seen that. And really, when you look at Samuel's whole ministry and life, he was a great figure in Israel's history. He played important spiritual and political roles. That was Samuel. And no wonder, because of that, all Israel gathered together and mourned for him. All Israel. Hindi lang kokonting pumunta. And appropriately, I believe, they buried him at his house in Ramah. You see, as the nation's spiritual leader, with his passing, were some implications. And one implication was that now Israel would be without spiritual leadership until David became king. When David stood now as king, he also was the spiritual leader, became the spiritual leader also of Israel. By the way, I remember I mentioned this to you. When you read through the books of the prophets and you will see God charging the shepherds of his people, the word shepherds there did not refer to pastors. Wala pa mga pastor nun. The word shepherds there referred to the kings, to the princes over his people. Because they were not only political leaders, they were also supposed to lead the people to God. So yung shepherds po dun were referring to the kings or the leaders of the nation. Now, with Samuel's passing, and we know the character and the spirituality of Saul, Israel now would be without a spiritual leader, not until David became king. At the same time, this is the second implication, David now is left without one of his greatest supporters. At such a time when he was running away for his life. Ngayon pa namatay si Samuel. Read now the last part of verse 25. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. So after Samuel's death, David journeyed south to the wilderness of Paran, a desert area in the northeastern region of the Sinai Peninsula. Okay, can you see the map? I hope it's sharp enough. Okay, where are we? Where were we before this point? Here is Hebron. Okay, down here is Ziph, and to the east of Ziph was En Gedi. Remember En Gedi? Nandito po ang En Gedi. Here was Ziph. Okay, that's where David ran. And then below Ziph is Carmel, and about 1.6 kilometers south of Carmel, malapit lang po, was the town of Maon. Banda dito po yan. Take note of that name, Maon, because we will be discussing that soon. So David was here in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Okay? And here we see the wilderness of Zin. Look at how far the wilderness of Paran is. Now, if you're using the NIV, it says the wilderness of Maon. All other translations use the wilderness of Paran. Okay? Why? Because all the other translations have based the location on the Hebrew text. But the NIV based their translation on the Greek, tradition. And there is no reason really not to trust the Hebrew text. So, because if this was Hebron and Maon was here, napakalapit masado kung tatakbo si David. Linayuan na niya, here is the wilderness of Paran. That is about 160 kilometers away from Hebron. Now, note, I would like to remind you, and I've mentioned this in the past, ang dami mga wilderness, no? But all of this are within what is called the wilderness of Judah. Okay? I would like to show you another map. Ayan. So, sorry. Okay, ayan. Just to make you see where the wilderness of Paran is. Here is Hebron. Here is the wilderness of Paran. Very famous place, Kadesh Barnea. This was the last place where the people of Israel stood before they entered into the land of Canaan. Now, look at the location of the wilderness of Paran. It was northeast to the Sinai Peninsula. This is where the people of Israel wandered for about 40 years. You will see here the Red Sea. The Red Sea had two branches. This is now known as the Gulf of Aqaba. And this is the Gulf of Suez. Both of these are part of the Red Sea. Ayan po. Ito yung wilderness of Sin, if you're familiar with that in the Old Testament. So, ang layo na po ni David and his men. Okay? Which brings us now to the next part. Verses 2 to 17. Nabal insults. Let's read verses 2 to 17. At mukhang hanggang dito lang tayo, I think. Okay, let's read. Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel. And the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And it came about while he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the man's name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. And the woman was intelligent and beautiful in appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his dealings, and he was a Calebite. That David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel, visit Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say, 'Have a long life, and peace be to you, and peace be to your house, and peace be to all that you have. Now I have heard that you have shearers. Now your shepherds have been with us, and we have not insulted them, nor have they missed anything all the days they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we have come on a festive day. Please give whatever you find at your hand to your servants and to your son David." Verse 9. When David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in David's name. Then they waited. But Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants today who are each breaking away from his master. Shall I take then my bread and my water and my meat that I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men whose origin I do not know?" So David's young men retraced their way and went back, and they came and told them according to all these words. And David said to his men, "Each of you gird on his sword." So each man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword, and about 400 men went up behind David, while 200 stayed with the baggage. Okay, let's stop there for a while. I've divided verses 2 to 17 into three parts. The first part is this, Nabal and Abigail's introduction. Okay? Please hang on here with me. Let's read this. Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And it came about while he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the man's name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail, and the woman was intelligent, beautiful in appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his dealings, and he was a Calebite. That David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. Okay? So, basahin po natin ang verses. Ang verses 2 to 4, and then verse 2, the first two parts. There was a man in Maon. He had a business in Carmel. He was very rich. And one of the proofs that he was rich was that he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. Okay, how many of you have ever experienced owning goats? Pakitaso na kamay. Meron po ba? Some of you who have ever, nagkaroon ka na ng goat? Ilang goat? Apat. This is 1,000. Okay? This is 1,000. So this very rich man from Maon, remember, here was Hebron, Carmel, Maon. So 1.6 kilometers down south was Maon. And so he had a business in Carmel. And most likely his business had to do with sheep and goat. Okay? Now, I want you to understand something about Maon. Okay? Because Maon was taken from the Amalekites by Saul in chapter 15, if you would recall. Diba? One of the first battles of Saul was against the Amalekites. And the Amalekites came and took over Maon, and Saul got back Maon from the Amalekites. Maon was also the place where Saul decided to build a monument for himself. Do you remember? Diba? Because sobra sang nabilib sa sarili niya, nagpatayo ng monumento itong si Saul. And that's why it's not surprising that the people in Maon were inclined to be loyal to Saul. Okay, please remember that. Please remember that. Because we will see that later coming out in Nabal's response. In the last part of verse 2, all the way to verse 4, let's read that. Now, it came about while he was shearing sheep in Carmel. Okay, verse 3, the man's name was Nabal, his wife's name was Abigail, woman is intelligent, beautiful in appearance, man was harsh and evil in his dealings, he was a Calebite. That David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. Now, really, when you look at the background of this, the man was celebrating the sheep shearing harvest festival. Meron pong ganun mga festival na sabay ng harvest, those who owned sheep would shear the sheep for their wool, and they would sell the wool. It's a whole festival. And there would be feasts. And there would be feasts. I'd like to read to you from the NIV cultural background commentary. It said, shearing time, which happened in the spring, would have been a time of abundance and gladness. And one would hope a time of generosity. Now, if one sheep would produce over 1 kilo of wool at shearing time, that's one sheep, 1 kilo. Then Nabal's 3,000 sheep would have produced over 3 tons or 2.7 metric tons of wool. So if he sheared all 3,000, ang laking pera po noon. And like times of harvest, times of the sheep shearing was a festive occasion, masaya. And later on, David made reference to this when he made request. But before we look at that, let's look at verse 3. Because here in verse 3, we learn that this man's name was Nabal. And that he was harsh and evil in his dealings. And that he was a Calebite, meaning to say a descendant of Caleb. Remember Caleb? Huh? Hindi po ito yung drummer natin? Okay? Caleb po was one of two people who God allowed to enter the promised land after the people of Israel refused to enter. Again, I think this happened in Kadesh Barnea. Simply because they were told that there were giants in the land. So all 10 spies were saying, we were brought here to be killed. It was only Joshua and Caleb who said, no. Kaya natin to. And because the people were revolting against Moses, guess what? They were in Kadesh Barnea. You saw the map. What did God do? Pinaikot-ikot sila ng 40 years hanggang mamatay yung generation ng mga nagrebelde sa kanya. And from that original generation, only two entered. Not even Moses entered. And one of them was Caleb. And Nabal was a descendant of that Caleb. Okay? Now, actually, the name Nabal literally means fool. Now, you need to understand that in the Old Testament, names are very significant. So, can you imagine? Ang pangalan mo, fool. Okay? Hindi misspelling at mispronunciation ni Apostol Paul. No. Fool. F-O-O-L. And if you read through the book of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs has so much to say about the fool. And the fool does not have to be stupid or dumb. Someone very intelligent and very educated could still be a fool. You are a fool if you are a fool who has said in your heart that there is no God. Then in the eyes of God, you are a fool. No matter how educated you are, how popular you are, how well established you are in society, in God's eyes, you are but a fool. And that was what his name meant. Please do not name any future children of yours Nabal. Now, this is very interesting. Kasi tatanungin mo yan. Ako, the first time I came across Nabal, I said, grabe naman yung nanay nito. Pinangalan niya ng Mangmang. Diba? So, ang nickname niya, Mang, di ba? Mangmang ang kanyang anak. And I really couldn't get over that. But thank God I came across one of the commentaries that said, that is an unlikely name for a mother to give her son at birth. And is more likely to be a name applied to the man by the biblical writers to indicate his role in the story. Okay, so marahil hindi naman siguro yung nanay, okay, ang nagbigay nun. Malamang, sabi nila, posible na ang biblical writer. Now, it is so ironic that Nabal was a descendant of Caleb. No? Unfortunately, he did not inherit the spiritual qualities of his legendary forefather. Ibang-iba si Nabal kay Caleb. On the other hand, I'm sorry, I forgot to cite this. Just to write that. Nabal literally means fool. That's a name that was so fitting to him because of the way that he would later behave towards David's men. Towards David's men. Okay? Now, on the other hand, we also meet Nabal's wife, or we are introduced to Nabal's wife, whose name was Abigail. And what a beautiful name pala Abigail means, no? It literally means father of joy, or my father is joy. Father here referring to source. So her name basically means source of joy. Diba? So, can you imagine kung yung next child mo, Abigail ang pinangalan mo, sobrang kang tuwan-tuwa sa kanya. Every time nakikita mo, tuwan-tuwa ka sa kanya. And Abigail happened to be very intelligent and also beautiful in appearance. Okay? So, ayan po si Abigail. Ayan. In complete contrast to her husband. Now, in verse 4, read verse 4 now, David, it somehow reached David, in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So for some reason, umabot sa kanyang balita that one of the richest men in that area was now shearing his sheep. And Nabal was a familiar name to him because guess what? At some point, he and his men, when they were in Hebron, guarded his Nabal's shepherds. You see, at such festive times, it was a custom to invite and entertain neighbors and friends. And so a great feast would be prepared, and the owner of the property would share his bounty to all who attended. And sometimes, rather more often than not, the poor and the outcast and the needy, in keeping with Israelite tradition, were regularly among those who were helped. Sila natutulungan. And so here, David was taking advantage of this. Uy, tamang-tama. Tamang-tama. Which brings us to the second part. At dito po tayo magtatapos. Okay lang po ba? Ha? Okay lang po ba? Thank you for your patience. Thank you. No? So let's read now verses 5 to 8. So David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel, visit Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say, have a long life. Peace be to you, and peace be to your house, and peace be to all that you have. Now I have heard that you have shearers. Now your shepherds have been with us, and we have not insulted them, nor have they missed anything all the days we were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we have come on a festive day. Please give whatever you find at your hand to your servants and to your son, David." Now, because of the probable dire situation, David sent out 10 young men to Nabal to ask for provisions to sustain him and his men in the wilderness. Okay? Do remember where they are now, right? They are now at the wilderness of Paran. And mahirap dun, kasi wilderness nga eh. And so when he heard about this rich man, it was a time of festivities, it was a time of supposed generosity, pinadala niya 10 young men to ask for provisions to sustain him and his men in the wilderness. And really, when you look at David's expectations, it was very reasonable. Any man with 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats could easily spare a few animals to feed 600 men. Ano ba naman yung magbigay sa halimbawa ng 10 kambing? O 10 tupa, for example. It would hardly be a dent to what he owned, right? To spare a few animals to feed 600 men, and not just 600 men, but men who risked their own lives to guard part of Nabal's wealth. So his request was reasonable. Siguro naman pagbibigyan tayo niyan. Na medyo mabibitin po kayo dahil dito po tayo titigil, no? But let me just bring out to you how David asked for help from Nabal. And I pray that we would learn a little from this. I'd like you to notice how David asked for help from Nabal. First, in verse 5, he instructed his men to greet Nabal in his name. Look at verse 5. David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel, visit Nabal, and greet him in my name." Name. Gamitin niyo yung pangalan ko. And this is important. Because Nabal should have realized or would have realized that the one who was asking was David. And David was not just David. He was the hero of Israel, the conqueror of the Philistines against Goliath. He was the general, one of the generals of Saul's armies. Albeit now running for his life. But his name still carried much weight. And by mentioning his name, their request would have lent legitimacy. And therefore, the hope for favor from Nabal would have been increased, knowing who was asking.
si David ba? Wow. Humingi ng tulong sa akin si David. So it would have lent legitimacy to their request by mentioning his name. Alam natin yun. Diba? Alam natin yun. Kunyari, pumunta ka. Honest ka. Pumunta ka, limbawa, sa isang tindahan ng prutas, no? Dahil sinugo ka ni Mayor. Pag sinabi mo, halimbawa, sa kanila, ay, bigyan mo naman ako maganda. Para kay Mayor to eh. Dahil pinapunta niya ako dito eh. Ah, ganun ba? Para kay Mayor to? Diba? So pipiliin natin ngayon, hindi yung mga lamog-lamog. Pipiliin natin yung dapat natin, yung maganda. Because the name lent legitimacy. Baka nga, hindi pa natin singilin. O, ito yung bayad. Hindi na, hindi na. That's what David was hoping for. And then, how else did he ask? In number two, his men were then to give a greeting of blessing. It's very interesting. The word greeting is the Hebrew word salom or shalom. And it was a powerful Hebrew greeting when you greeted shalom. It's not just hi, no. It was a greeting of blessing, praying for peace, praying for prosperity, praying for good health upon the person who you say shalom to. At kung titignan po natin ang verse 6, look at those words. Basically, they describe those words. Have a long life. Peace be to you and peace be to your house and peace be to all that you have. Can you imagine if some very important person gave that as a personal message to you? And during those times, words like that were like a pronouncement of blessing. David did not have to do that, but I believe that David gave those instructions to greet in that way in his name to show honor to Nabal. He wanted to show honor to Nabal. Again, what was the meaning of his name? Fool. And yet David wanted to show him honor. And then, third, you look at verse 7, all the way to the first part of verse 8, they were to mention how he and his men had treated and protected Nabal's shepherds. Read verse 7. Now I have heard that you have shearers. Now your shepherds have been with us, and we have not insulted them, nor have they missed anything all the days they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Now we need to understand that in the Hebrew society, shepherds were among the lowest in society. At madalas, kinakawawa po ang shepherds. And here David was telling him, you know what, we took care of your shepherds. We treated them well. We did not insult them. We protected them. You know what? Ask any of them. Later on, next time we continue with this, you will see that one of his men, one of Nabal's men, actually testified to the truth of this. And I believe that David was mentioning this because he wanted to show that he was not asking for a handout. Hindi po siya nanlilimos. Yung mga pinadala po niya mga tao, hindi lang po pumunta dyan. Di ba, minsan, meron pong ganun. Di ba, kumakain ka sa SM, bigla may lalapit sa'yo, may papakitang papel. Or nagmamaneho ka, limbawa, hindi masyado ho dito kasi sa Baguio. Pero sa Manila, limbawa, may kakatok sa salamin ng sasakyan mo. Yun po, limus po yun. And David wanted to show, no, I'm not asking for a handout, and that's why I just want you to understand I did something to your benefit. And then fourth, he asked for Nabal's favor in view of what we saw in number 3. Look at the second part of verse 8. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we have come on a festive day. This statement was really a statement of respect. It was like asking, can you be gracious to us? Favor. He put himself in a position of someone who was not worthy asking from someone who he was honoring. And at the same time, he made mention of the festivities. Anyway, sa ganitong panahon, hindi ba? Tradisyon natin na we open house ang mga mayayaman to anyone who would like to come, even the poor.
And then, the fifth, he did not specify any amount from Nabal, but just to give whatever he chose to give. Look at the last part of verse 8. Please give whatever you find in at your hand to your servants and to your son, David. Hindi po nagbigay ng listahan si David. By the way, dahil may 3,000 sheep ka, pwede ba bigyan mo kami ng 20 noon? At may 1,000 goats ka, pwede mo ba kami bigyan ng 30 noon? Ito listahan? No. Again, out of indifference, he said, hey, you know what? Whatever you want to give. Whatever you want to give. And more than that, he asked in humble respect with the words. Look at the last part of verse 8. To your servants and to your son David. He was bowing himself as someone inferior to Nabal. I want you to understand these six things. You see, David could have used authority. Ako yung pumatay kay Goliath, ha? But he did not. He could have used force. He had a 600 strong army. And they could have by force just taken all the goats and the sheep that they wanted. And Nabal could not have done anything about it, but he did not. He could have demanded payment, compensation, for the protection he and his men provided. Oy, bayaran mo kami. Ah, ang dami namin binantay, ha? Bayaran mo kami ngayon sa pagbabantay namin. But he did not. David hoped that they would be rewarded by Nabal for their service. Because somehow, sana makita ni Nabal, you know what? They deserve this. Because during shearing time, lagganap ang mga thieves and robbers. And none of those happened to any of the shepherds of Nabal. So sana man lang. Oh, they deserve it. What am I trying to say here? Okay na po ba kayo? Kita nyo na po yan? Ha? Huh? Okay na? Simply put, I'm about to close this. David, in spite of who he was and the authority he possessed, humbly asked for help without any sense of entitlement from a man whose name's meaning he knew. Kahit na alam ko that this man is most likely a fool, because I'm asking, I bow myself. Wow. This was David. He was not an ordinary Israelite. He was going to be the next king. He had authority in his hands. But he asked without any sense of entitlement. Don't you wish that more of our politicians and leaders of our nation will be like David? See, we need to understand something. All of these politicians are public servants. They are put there, first of all, to serve God and then to serve the people of the nation. My question is this. Why is it that some of them, and we see this in all the past administrations, that some of them act as if we owe them our lives? Why is it that some of them act as if they are our lords? Why couldn't they be more like a David? Again, brethren, I believe this was a testimony to his character as a man after God's own heart. Nagpakumbaba siya. Isn't that what Jesus also did? He humbled himself by coming here as a man and suffered at the cross, Philippians 2, 5 to 8. He humbled himself. A testimony to his character as one who was better than Saul. Si Saul, nagpatayo pa nga ng monumento. Eh, di ba maalala ito ng mga taga-Maon? And here was David approaching and asking in this way. Wow. And here, brethren, and I close with this. Okay na po ba? Okay na po kayo? Ha? Just read it. Read it one more time. Read it one more time. You don't need to copy their verse references there. But let me just say that in this, at least at this point, in this part of David's testimony, true humility was manifested in David's, one, respect for others, regardless of their character, regardless of their status in life. And two, his humility was seen in the absence of any sense of entitlement on his part. Doon nakita yung kanyang humility. I want you to catch this. His humility was seen first in his respect for others, regardless of their character. Nabal was called a fool. He was known to be a wicked man. And regardless of their status in life, Nabal was lower than David, really. And his humility was also seen in the absence of any sense of entitlement. Oh yeah, dapat bigyan mo ko. Una-una, binantangin ka mga simo. Pangalawa, si David. David. Meron ba kayong ibang alam na David dito sa buong Israel? Tinatanong ko po sa inyo yan. Diba? Parang wala eh, no? Parang siya lang ang David sa Bible eh, di ba? But he did not. He did not. How do we treat others? Especially when they are despicable in character, annoying in character. Do we look down on them? How do we treat those who are lower in status in life than us? How do you treat them? How are we in the area of the sense of entitlement? Dapat lang. Dapat lang. Be careful when you're in the restaurant, and you're ordering from waiters, and the service is taking a little longer. Be careful. We've actually heard people, some Christians, exercise a sense of entitlement. Hoy, nagbabayad ako dito, ha? Nagbabayad ako dito. And sometimes they would speak in such a loud voice as if to shame the waiter or waitress. Sense of entitlement. Here we see true humility in what David showed. Stop here. We'll continue this next time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, thank you for your word today. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the patience of your people as we extended a little today. I just pray, Lord, that kahit bitin po ang preaching ngayon, somehow we picked up something, Father God. Lord, we love you and we bless you. Please, as the elder overseer you put over this church, Father, I entrust each and everyone in our church, not just our formal members, but the faithful attendees as well. I entrust them to your care. I entrust their hearts to your care. I entrust to you our relationships with one another, Lord, relationships, Lord, that are eternal in nature because of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would not allow anything of the evil one to divide or cause strain in these relationships. Father, help us to honor you and glorify you as a church as we now continue to respond to many things that are happening in our nation and are about to happen as well. And may we just be focused on the gospel and the work of the gospel and the work of edification that you have called us to in establishing our church. Help us to be truth-founded people who live truth-founded lives. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord.
I leave them in your hands. As they give of their tithes and offerings, Father, may we give always joyfully out of love for you and your church, out of loving obedience to you and strong faith, that though we might have many needs, Lord, we give because we trust that you are our provider. Guide us, Lord, in all our giving. Your presence always be with your people as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you all po.